Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Henry. Well, let me fight my glasses here. I need these things. You be quiet over there, you young buck. This morning, the title of the message is What Else? And it actually came... let me just start over. It's what else? Does everyone remember, I'm sure you've heard it, the American Dairy Association slogan, got milk? Yeah. For many of us here today, we do have the regular intake of milk, and you're wondering, where are you going with this? Well, you'll find out. Good or bad, it'll be there. Yeah, we'd have that as part of our good diet, a good healthy diet. And because we know, according to the dairy farmers, milk, it does a body good. Now, so this time of year, one of my favorite forms of milk is ice cream, milkshakes. And, you know, some of these things aren't so good for the body, but I've never seen anyone killed with a bowl of ice cream with huckleberries on. So I'm calling it safe. You know, there are those individuals who are lactose intolerant, and I feel for you. I really do. I'm being serious, because I don't know what I would do if I couldn't have my milk to accompany my cookies. My wife laughs at me, but that's one of my favorite snacks is milk and cookies, yes. You know, milk alone is not enough for a healthy diet or any diet, and I'm reminded often when I think about this of the Jewish delis in New York. I watched a special years ago on it. It's pretty funny. But whenever you order something from the person behind the counter, oh, you think you're done, but you're not. Because you say, I want a pastrami sandwich. What else? You know, you better be confident that you are done ordering, or you're not likely to leave that Jewish deli without buying everything, because they're always going to come at you with what else? What else? And that's where we get our title today. I want you to think on that as we look into, we're going to spend quite a bit of time in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. I want you to think on what else. Now, out of the New American Standard Bible, I'm going to read it first. I'm going to go through a couple different translations. But this one says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have set their senses trained to discern good and evil." Now, I just got back from just about a week. My wife and I spent glamping up north. We came back Friday afternoon, but it was last Tuesday night. I had a very impressionable dream. Now, it woke me up. And to be clear, I am no discerner or interpreter of dreams, nor do I think all dreams have some spiritual meaning. But as Pastor Jim would say, you know, maybe it was just some bad lasagna. Don't know. I didn't have lasagna. But however, the dream inspired today's message. You're not going to get the full epic dream, but I'm going to cover the highlights that are important to this message. There was a woman in this dream that told me I needed to call my mom back at her new number. I didn't have her new number. She gave me the number, and while I was writing the number down, she also told me that my mom wanted to discuss Hebrews 5:13. She wanted to know what it meant to me and that we are counting on you. So I went to my Bible, which in my dream, clearly I keep my Bible in the garage, but that's where I went. I went there to look it up, and I went to Hebrews 3 and followed my fingers down verse by verse and to verse 15, but Then I realized that that was not it. She said Hebrews 5:13. Flip a couple pages over, chase my fingers down. There it is, verse 13. But in my dream, this verse was covered with a decal of some kind, and I could not peel it off. So I woke from that dream, and I told myself, don't forget, this might mean something, you know. And remember, it's 5:13, not 3:15. And then I started grogging off, and I'm going, wait a minute. I forced myself up, grabbed my phone, looked it up on, you know, YouVersion Bible. Nice plug for Aaron there. And so I copied, pasted, and sent it to myself so I wouldn't forget when I woke up. I don't know about you, but so many times I get woke up and says, man, that was good, and then pass out, and then in the morning, what was I supposed to remember? So this is why I did this. Sat up, took care of some business, and so the next morning, obviously, I looked at it and went over actually both verses, which you're going to get both of them today. Now, I pondered this dream for the next couple of days, and then Thursday, Amy reminded me that I was speaking this Sunday. Boom. To be honest, I didn't realize it was this Sunday. So thanks, Dream Mom, for the heads up and getting my juices flowing for this message. By the way, for the record, my mom passed away several years ago. And when she wanted you to get something right or corrected, she wanted to know what that meant to you. Like if you were supposed to clean your room and it didn't quite meet muster, you were asked to enter the room with her, and she would ask, I asked you to clean your room. What does that mean to you? So we're trying to define definitions of clean, you know, right? She wanted to be clear. And after I surrendered to Christ, my mom and I had a few conversations about Scripture, and that's what she would ask of me then. What does that mean to you? Answering those inquiries, believe it or not, were a lot better than the other times during my growing up years. But she did know the Bible very well. She was one that could quote Scripture, and it would meet the circumstance or would be in context of the conversation. And it was too easy for her. She knew it very well. And, you know, she was pleased with most of my answers. We had long conversations and debate on Scripture during those talks. Usually we cleared the living room of any bystanders due to the fact that we would go so deep and precise in regards to the text and context of what we were discussing. So when my mom wants to know, what does Hebrews 5:13 mean to me, I'm compelled to answer today, and hoping that she's still pleased with my answer. So I did, as I said earlier, I looked at a couple different translations, so I thought I would share them with you. New King James Version. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the NIV. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, for everyone that lives on milk only, this person is content with the first principles of the gospel. They are easily taken in and digest it. Immature believers take only a portion of what they need to grow spiritually, a portion, still at the mother's breast stage after many years as Christians. Now, I know Jim did a message on this years ago. We all, I'm sure some of you are picturing baby Mr. Bean. And I thought about that as I was doing this message. But you know what? We need to be reminded. The Hebrew Christians here were satisfied to make milk their sole diet. There are clearly two avenues to consider here. First, to the new to the faith or young in the faith that are being brought up, who do require their food prepared for them in a way that they can digest it easily. Now, I'm not saying watered down, just simple. And two, we have the other group that uses little to no effort to grow. Quite content to let everyone dote on their spiritual growth and will only drink the milk of the word and will not bite off a chunk and chew it for themselves. Now, the Greek word for babe means a child who has not been weaned from its mother's breast, an infant. Here, the word babe refers to immature Christians. Now, this word babe is used sometimes to commend and to express some good character, such as harmlessness, inoffensiveness, humility, meekness, a desire after the sincere milk of the word, free from malice, hypocrisy, or guile, but not so much here. This is not what we're talking about here in Hebrews. Here it is used to reproach, to identify inconsistency, ignorance, and lacking desire to digest strong meat, and incapacity to take care of themselves, relying on the teachers and the pastors. There are three characteristics of those who are spiritually immature. They are unskilled in the Bible. They do not apply principles of Scripture to experience. They are spiritual infants. Now, the Greek word for unskilled means lacking faculty or capacity to understand. Unskilled also carries the idea of being inexperienced. An inexperienced person is untried in their spiritual walk. The issue is not that immaturity in believers simply is lacking information, but that they do not know how to apply the truth to their experience. Without this operating principle, they cannot fully mature in their faith. The unskillful in the word of righteousness, which happens to be the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. It is called the righteousness of Christ for a reason, and a good one at that. It is the righteous works, it is not the righteous works of man, or man's righteousness that justifies himself. The meat of the word helps in teaching men to live sober-mindedly, righteously, and godly, and some are unskilled in it, who either have no knowledge of doctrine of Christ's righteousness, either before faith, or have a very confused notion of it. Joining their own works with Christ's righteousness for justification. Or who, if they have a notion of it at all, have no practical concern for it. They do not believe that the heart, they do not believe with their heart for righteousness. They don't have the experience, and they do not live lives that are agreeable to it. Now, the author of Hebrews is basically scolding them that they had not made those improvements in knowledge, which might have made them capable of looking more deeply into the parts of Scripture. So they basically remained the same as when he had left them. Now, just for the record, no one knows who exactly wrote this. So when I say the author, it's because we're unsure. They have a pretty good idea who it wasn't, but they don't know who it was. Those that are babes, unskillful in the word of righteousness, must be fed with milk, obviously. Excuse me. They must be entertained with the plainest truth, and these delivered in the plainest manner. But for growth, for understanding, and in the process of maturing in your faith, there must be a line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, as it says in Isaiah. Christ does not despise babes. I want to throw that out there. He purposely provided suitable food for them. It is good to be babes in Christ. It may sound like I'm harshing on all the babes out there, not doing it. But we should never continue in that childish state. We should strive past the infant state to remain without malice like children, but in understanding we should grow up to maturity. There have always been Christian children. Newsflash. There have always been Christian young men and Christian young women. There are Christian fathers and Christian mothers. Always have been. Every Christian, having accepted Christ as Lord, stands in need of spiritual nourishment to preserve that life. The Word of God is food and nourishment to the life of grace. Milk to babes and strong meat to those of maturity. It is by use and exercise that the food of Scripture is turned into spiritual muscle, and what is good and true, and also the bitterness of what is false and evil. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Just to reaffirm what I'm telling you here today. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The babe is unskilled in these areas. That is why we need to get into the meat of the word, so we can get what God has breathed into the words for us at teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in his righteousness, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whatever work needs to be done on the sound booth back there is not going to get done without tools. And if you are inequipped with tools, you are not going to get that job done for Belinda. And you know what? Your faith walk is no different. Without the tooling, you are not going to get the job done. It is, I know, sometimes I can be a little hard-handed, I feel like, but this is the word on my heart. So it is dangerous to remain a babe in spiritual truths. There is a culpability for one to remain at the beginning stage of spirituality. To stay in spiritual stupidity puts a person into danger of believing false doctrine. Now, for the record, adults drink milk, but it is not their exclusive diet. The person who exclusively drinks spiritual milk after 10 years of being a Christian is stuck in spiritual immaturity. So Hebrews 5:13, the plain and simple truth, it's about those who are suckling on the word, still gumming their way around Holy Scripture. Not a little here, not a little there, grazing by gums as they pass by, but not chewing and swallowing and digesting the meat of the word. Not taking time to properly break it down for all the nourishment it possesses, to be fed by it, to grow from it. If you've ever had a deer fawn born in your yard or on your property and watched it from birth until it becomes an adult and disappears, you will easily get the picture here. Those little cuties, they sample every plant. I know, those little buggers. They'll sample every plant on your property. And mostly it's pulled out or bitten off and left behind. As they figure out what they are supposed to eat and what they will not eat, they will stomp down your plants as they walk through your flower gardens. Basically, they have no regard for the entirety or the value of what is right there. Not thinking of future needs or whether it'll be available again. They're just babes. There is a time for those who are doing the feeding. We must soften the food for consumption by those who are truly babes. Newborn spirits brought into the fold by the Holy Spirit's urging. Babies need baby food. I just feel you need to reaffirm that. As we know, you cannot and should not be a grown-up baby. The truth of the matter is, it's impossible to be a mature infant. And Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Now, we were all born rebels, and some fancy the idea that they are a rebel. Listen, hear his voice, and don't have a hard heart towards him. Now, when I was first called out as a speaker of the Word of God, a man looked me right in the eye and asked, "You're a rebel, aren't you?" my wife answered for me. But his take on the answer was, "Good. But be a rebel that rails against the world and its ideas, and rebel against being something God did not create you to be. Rebel against the evil that wants you to fall short. Be a rebel, but be the right kind." I'd like to ask the praise team to come up at this time. Oops. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. It is not what we do, but who we do it for. We grow from babes to maturity for him. Not what anyone thinks of you, but what God thinks of you. We serve within the body not to get kudos from Pastor Jim and Belinda, though you will get them from sincere hearts, but because that's what family does. And if you are a part of New Hope, you know this already. But if you don't know this, then I invite you to surrender yourself to God today. Bow your heart to Jesus and receive what the world cannot give and what it cannot take away. As my mom asked in my dream, "What does it mean to you And what her final words were, "We're counting on you." I almost made it. Who are the we of this statement? I don't know for sure. What I do know is someone is counting on you. Here on earth and in heaven to reach maturity in Christ. And they are waiting. Waiting for you to reach the potential that He, which is God, had put in you. To excel in the spiritual gifts that He has designed for you and your true purpose. Amen. I'm going to stand down here. It's hot up there. Maybe it's just being in the hot seat. I don't know. But well, that was longer than I thought it was. So I'm not going to go on anymore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every blessing that we receive. We pray your hand be upon us, whatever we do and where we go, and that our thoughts be upon you in those very same things. That we live out our lives, Lord, bringing honor and glory to you. Father, that we would press into your mercy and grace and live there, Lord, with peace and joy. May you guide us, show us, Lord, shape us, complete your work in us. May you use new hope to impact this world and this community for your goodness, for your kingdom. And we pray that your will be done in every heart here and everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, that you be glorified through your Son and by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.